Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's back. Riley Davis is in the house. If you thought Riley Fridays were disappearing in the offseason, you thought wrong, my friends. He's back and he looks fantastic. How are you, Riley?
I'm great. That was quite the introduction. Yeah, I just want to reiterate that Riley Fridays are here to stay. If anybody thought I was ducking, if anybody thought I was taking the offseason off, if anybody thought, oh, you're probably back on campus, you know, spreading the good news, that's also true. But I do not, but never to the point where I would miss a 10:30, 10:45 a.m. recording time on Thursday mornings with my guys, with the Gotta Get It boys, fresh off of meeting for the first time in Phoenix a week and a half ago. Feels like it's been forever since I've got to talk to y'all. So, yes, it's a great day to be on this pod. It's a great day to make the return. I'm excited to get into it. I got some good topics. I want to hear what the Discord people have to say. I'm getting used to new backgrounds for both of y'all, but we're here.
It's a great day that you think that you have a choice that you can come here, Riley. You don't. We got you signed to a 360 deal. You didn't read the fine print. We got you locked in at least to the end of 2024, and then we'll assess from there. But I'm glad that you come here willingly, just to throw that out there.
Just wait until Crew becomes the presenting sponsor of Sleepers Media. I'm working on that deal. Yeah, Riley, do you want to respond to the allegations, truthful allegations, that you are the Alex Martinelli of pickleball?
I think it's accurate. I was a little offended when Greg said that, but I'll take it. Let's see. Oh, I did talk to Mark about it. He listened to the show. He was honored that Greg said that he loved Mark more than me and Carter. But he vowed to be better next time in pickleball, which he was a pretty serious tennis player in high school. So I was kind of disappointed in his game. I'm not going to lie to y'all, but I didn't play great either. So I got to, you know, tap the chest and say that's on me. I could have been better.
I mean, they were competitive games, despite my trolls. Like, I don't want to sit here and say we, like, 11-0'd them boys, Cart. Didn't happen.
Yeah, clearly we're playing with our food. I'm also very scared of motivated Mark. I already, I am so scared of motivated Mark. I just want to make that very clear.
Can I share about when it all came undone for me?
Please.
When I collapsed. It was the second game. We lost the first game. Y'all did beat us pretty handily the first game, but second game, we were locked in. We went up 9-5, games to 11, and it was our serve. And I was like, we're about to finish these boys right here. And it was my serve. And I was thinking, like, okay, how can I play into, you know, the Christian persona and pay a little homage to y'all's Catholic upbringings? So I do the sign of the cross before I serve, and I had a big smile on my face, and I faulted, and it all went downhill from there. I thought the sign of the cross was going to be so cold as we win 11-5, and it was the opposite. We collapsed.
Yeah, we won that point, and Carter knows this. I turned directly to Carter and said, "We just won. Like, we're fine."
Yeah, you did.
It was a really fun night, though. Shout out to Chicken and Pickle in Phoenix. Great spot. That's my favorite bar I've ever been to. And shout out to the Purdue fan at Chicken and Pickle that bought us Jack and Diets. That was lovely as well. Let's get to the show, boys. We have a lot of comments to get through today. The people are excited about the return of Riley Davis, to say the least. But as always, Carter Elliott's YouTube comment of the day.
Yeah. Also, never seen a guy get more excited about a two-hearted ale than Riley at Chicken and Pickle. He was acting like it was the greatest, the nectar of the gods.
That two-hearted ale was so good. Shout out to Michigan. Shout out to Kalamazoo. Shout out to Bell's Brewery. Sponsor the pod.
All right. We're going to go with Greg. I have two choices. One is praise of us. One is a comment making fun of me. Which one do you want to hear?
Let me get praise first and then quickly follow it with the one that makes fun of you, because we always need to end with a chip on our shoulder.
All right. Sounds good. All right. This one comes from Dennis Lindsay. I'm a huge Kansas fan. Knowing neither of you are Kansas fans like I am, I just want to say that these two have become probably my favorite show to podcast to watch. Even though they say nothing about my team, I still watch. And when they talk about players that the team has no interest in, I still watch. You two are fairly informative, opinionated, and still entertaining to some degree. Hard to find somebody or someone that can provide all three. Love your show, guys. God bless you guys. Keep it up.
Fairly informative and entertaining to some degree, the Sleepers Media story.
I mean, that just encompasses everything we are. Honestly, reading that back, thought it was a little bit more nicer than it was. Like, it was more like backhanded compliments. Like, he didn't want to fully jump in and like say he likes us. It's like, you're like aggressively okay. You're State Fair handsome.
I think it's the most accurate description of us that I've heard in a calendar year, though. Like, that was that wasn't too kind and it wasn't too harsh. It was accurate.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, this one comes from Illinois fan whose profile picture is half face of Steph Curry and half face of Coleman Hawkins. And he says, wish Imani nothing but the best. I bet he goes to West Virginia. Although he's like Carter, can't jump over a phone book and can't guard a parked car. You don't think I can jump? One, I'm going to post this comment probably on my Twitter later. And I'm going to have two videos along with it. It's going to be one, a video of me guarding a parked car. It's going to be very easy. It's parked. And then the second part of that is I'm going to jump over a phone book.
I would truly love to see you do that. What's with you posting all the hate comments, by the way? Is that just like a thing for you?
Yeah, I like it. I like to put a chip on my shoulder. I also think they're like funny. Like I get a kick out of them.
Okay. All right. Carter, I can embrace that.
Can you currently dunk?
I can. Yes.
What's like, can you do, is there like any cool dunks you could do?
No, I can never do cool dunks in my prime, really. Straight up.
Are you 100% sure you can dunk right now?
100%. I just dunked at Men's League on Monday.
Not in a game, though.
No, but like if you give me the ball and like go dunk the basketball, I can just do like a simple like one-hand, two-hand dunk.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident in that too.
It's way more of a struggle than it was recently. Don't get me wrong. Like I used to be like doing it like quite easily. It's definitely not the same. I'll tell you that. But like I still can. Yeah.
What if we gave you like a month in the lab to look up some, you know, good plyometric workouts, some good like get your vertical up on YouTube? Could you do a windmill dunk in a month from now if you just went in the lab and grinded at it?
No, because I'm not doing plyometrics. Riley, I'm 30. I'm 30. Come on, man. Like, I'm doing plyometrics, throwing down a windmill, and then going out and making sure that my Excel spreadsheet formulas add up. Like, come on now. Can't do that.
I just feel like that would be great offseason content, is like Carter's grind to be able to.
Carter's road to windmill.
Yes, Carter's road to windmill.
That actually would be a really good series. Just Carter just trying to get better at things all summer. I would really enjoy that.
I want to focus on getting better at golf. If I'm getting better at anything, I don't care about dunking.
We can do that. Also, I've held this off for over 2.5 years of podcasting with you, Cart. Can we correct your pronunciation of the word windmill?
Windmill? Because I don't say the D.
You say windmeal.
Windmill?
Windmill.
I can windmill. Oh, I do say that. Wow.
Yeah, you've been doing this for over 2 years, and this feels
like. How often do I say windmill?
There's a lot of windmills brought up in conversation. I'd say like once every 3 weeks it comes up on the show, and it's every time without fail it's windmill.
So it eats at you.
It's grinded my gears for years. This feels like the appropriate time to bring it up.
Got you. I will move forward. I got you. Windmill.
Okay, let's get to the comments portion of the show. Join the Discord. It's $9.99 a month if you join on a desktop or the mobile browser on your phone. We did get a new user in the Discord yesterday. Cart, can you look up the new user? Because I have the comments loaded, and I don't want to lose that, but we need to give a shout-out to our first off-season sign-up since we've begun off-season shows.
I got you. Our new user is IL Lunatic.
Oh, I love that. ILL Lunatic. Well, thank you for being here, IL Lunatic. Comments every single day to every Discord member, starting today with Jay Meisner, who says, what happened with Carter's tattoo? Did I miss that?
No. So I will be getting my tattoo and my buzz cut on May 4th.
Can I come?
Hey, sure. Go ahead.
I really want to. That's going to be so fun. I'll do the Tang thing that week also. So we'll make that punishment week.
Yeah, also, as a caveat to this as well, my wife's upset that I'm getting like sleepers tattoos. And currently I have mom, dad, both my sister's names. I don't have her name or my dog's name. So while I'm there as well, I think I will be getting a tattoo of their names. So it'll be a little experience.
I like that. I support that. Riley, do you have any tattoos?
I don't.
Would you ever get a tattoo?
I would.
Yeah. Wow.
I'd be scared of you with a forearm tat.
Yeah. I'm a little surprised you don't have a hip.
Yeah, I've thought about numerous, but I don't know if I'll ever pull the trigger on it.
What would your tat be?
If I ever, I would want, if I'm going to get one, I might as well get three. And like, there's no point in just getting one. I would get something like related to Natalie. Don't know exactly what yet. I would get something related to my faith. Don't exactly know what yet. And then I would get something related to UNC basketball. I would have the two serious ones and one just like stupid one. I would never get the UNC logo, but I would get something like a, this would probably be a more hidden one of like the years of the national championships or something.
Three pillars.
This is the stupidest idea I ever heard or I've ever stated. But if you do get a tattoo, I recommend something of Natalie's face on something that rhymes with Nat. So like you get Nat in with a bat
on a hat,
or like Nat as a bat, like a bat, like the bat bat, or like the bat, like that bat, like anything revolving around that, something like Nat in a hat, something like that.
Okay, Dr. Seuss, like what are we doing right now? Nat on a bat is the tattoo that you want Riley to get. If he just gets a tat of Nat, it's Nat on the tat.
Ooh,
that's a good point.
I didn't think about that.
This is absurd. Back to the comments. Spartan Dog 101 says, what will it take for the Little 10 to become the Big 10 again? There's been some pretty good portal ads and freshmen to the conference this offseason. Let's ask someone not in the Little 10. Riley, what does the Big 10 need to do to become the Big 10 again?
It's a great question. You got to have your best guard can't play at Northwestern.
That's good.
That would be for starters. Like, I get we love Boo Darius on this podcast. Y'all converted me into a follower of Boo-dism, so to speak. But I need the best guards to play for Illinois, to play for Michigan State, to play for, I guess, Purdue, Ohio State. Give me something in there. I guess they do have Braden, which is a start. Yeah, Michigan. I'll throw him in there too.
I'm disgusted we didn't come up with Boo-dism until now. That's so good. Yeah.
Dr. Doctor
says people are talking Indiana has moved to +6,500 to win a natty on MyBookie. Great investment, in my opinion. Card, is that a good investment?
No.
I think it's a great investment. I went straight to MyBookie and placed that, for the record. And I'm not kidding. That's a true thing I did. Guy says, while we're on the topic of Indiana, is the ideal date night watching Hoosiers and then talking about your existential dread?
The ideal date night is watching the Hoosiers?
Guys flexing those high school vocab tests too much right now with existential dread.
I'm a huge Guy fan. Kai, who I think deleted the three letters of his last name because I couldn't pronounce them. I'm sorry, Kai. Kai says, I know last year you guys got into playoff football videos. Any chance we see more of that this year and maybe a season predictions video? I don't know. Carter, do you want to do those? Do you want to do other sports?
I do. The reception on other sports doesn't really do well for us, though. That's the thing.
So college football did well for us last summer. Like, I have no concerns about doing what we did for college basketball with college football. I don't know about NBA. Like, we would have to really commit to doing, like, NBA playoff recap stuff, which we're not doing right now. But we had some good NBA videos in the summer. We're going to do NBA draft stuff. I don't know. Riley, what should we do?
Well, a little peek behind the curtain. We had some discussions about this poolside at the Marriott Resort. That's not quite as nice as the Ritz, but still pretty fancy. As Jay Wright walked by us in a hoodie and a swimsuit. So I'm definitely open to doing NBA and NFL content, but I think it all comes down to, like, you know, do we try it out and see how it's received? How much I personally need to lean a little more into the prep work behind that, because I don't follow it as closely as college sports, but it's definitely something I kind of think we would crush it if we dabbled into that world.
Yeah, I think it needs to scale in time like I would love 5 years from now to be doing previews and recaps for NBA, NFL, college basketball, college football. I think the most natural starting point would be college football this season. It gives us some time to prepare for it. I already have some people that are interested in helping out with that. And yeah, honestly, with how much portal stuff's going on, it's kind of hard to dive right into NBA playoffs right now. But you will see some NBA stuff on the channel in the next couple weeks. Riley will probably be a part of it if you do. Coop says, I'm confused on why people still think there's a possibility that Marcus Damask will come back. Cam Spencer played 5 games in 2020 and was denied a medical waiver. Damask played 10 games the same year. It will make no sense if he gets a waiver, but Spencer was denied. This feels like fan delusion that he will come back.
You can't count on anything with the NCAA, to be honest with you. That's the reason why I don't think anything's out of the question.
But to be clear, Coop is correct, and I'm sorry, Illinois fans. Like, anyone that's not an Illinois person thinks it's insane that Illinois thinks they can get a waiver from Marcus Damask. It would be unprecedented if he gets one.
I don't think it's insane.
You just believe in Illinois lawyers.
They're undefeated.
They are undefeated. Jesse says, I want to point out to all the haters that one of the all-time sports journalist goats, Craig Sager, dressed like an over-the-top movie villain used car salesman. Dressed like you want, what are your top three all-time sports media best-dressed personalities? This feels like a great question for Riley.
Best-dressed sports media personalities? Oh, man, where do I? I mean, is Jay Wright too much of a cop-out?
No.
I'll allow it.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Because I guess we just gave the shout out to his poolside attire, but you know his fits are always going to be elite when he's on screen. I don't know if this will be controversial, but I kind of like Wally Szczerbiak's suits.
I'm fine with that. Wally Szczerbiak's hair distracts me.
Yeah, he needs some work on the hair. The suits are always fire. John Fanta has some great suits lined up. I feel like I'm forgetting some people though.
Can I send a low key shout out here? And I don't. Not a college basketball person. Ernie Johnson low-key puts that shit on.
Yeah, he does. That's facts.
I'm a big Ernie Johnson fan. I think I like Ernie's suits.
Yeah, he does. I learned there's levels to the dress game at the Final Four because, like, every producer from Bleacher Report was fitted. Like,
fitted.
Insanely fitted behind like the scenes. Yeah, I want to give a random shout-out, but Ty McKeon, three-man weave. He's often fitted. Like, they go to these events, and like, he was taking pictures with Roy Williams the other night. Great content. Go follow Three Man Weave. My man was looking good in the suit. His hair is always looking good. Like, I'm impressed with Kai's style.
Yeah.
You know how much it kills me to hear that someone is fitted and taking photos with Roy Williams and to know that's not me? Like, that's how I feel how Carter feels, knowing that State's only pursuing Frankie Fiddler and ignoring Trey Townsend right there asking to come to East Lansing. That is how I feel, knowing that I am not the one who's fitted taking flicks with Roy Williams.
Could I use another example?
One day, Riley. Jay Miser says, I think one thing you guys forgot in the Umar Ballo video is that he is comfortable playing in a two big lineup. Tubelis did most of his work at the basket. He and Ballo both did very well that year. I think Greg's notion that Renew and Ballo will start together and then take turns at center could work extremely well. It's coming from our resident Arizona fan. I think he's right. Still, shooting is going to be a problem, but they're about to get a shooter. Like, everything Indiana's doing, I like a lot. Ballo's the best player on that team, in my opinion, right now. I'm a little surprised Jay Meisner's so calm about all of this. Like, he just lost Kai Boswell and Umar Ballo and Pell Larson in back-to-back-to-back days. Caleb Love is leaving the door open to return, and he's just like, yeah, it's time for the next guys. I wouldn't feel that way if I was an Arizona fan.
I love their freshman class. I know it's tough to win with freshmen, but I do love them.
Okay. I guess we'll see. I Maynor, Duke fan Riley, says, I didn't notice Roach maintained his eligibility while declaring for the draft while also entering the portal. Roach was on the fence in regards to playing in college last year, did briefly test draft waters. Remember, he was recruited to be a one and done. I think this happened because he wants to go pro, but Shire is not going to wait on his decision. Reason being, this has been a part of Duke's portal woes. And then along rest of the comments about Tyrese Proctor and all the dynamics that goes into these. Sorry, I'm skipping some of it. I made it, but it's a really long comment. P.S. I was cool with the Cooper Flag comment, but Greg almost made me cancel my subscription by putting the image of Jeremy Roach in a UNC jersey in my mind. That's also a bad fit starting two small guards who can't guard a wet hamburger. Riley, your thoughts?
Wait, did he say wet hamburger?
A wet hamburger.
First off, RJ Davis was pretty good defensively this year. UNC was top 10 nationally in defensive efficiency. He's not perfect, but he makes the most of it. Second off, I really enjoy Ive Mayner's comments. I'm going to pay respect to my my rival. I feel like me and Ive Mayner have made amends after we threw some shots at each other. Thirdly, I agree with what he was saying about thinking Roach wants to go pro. That's some of the, I would say I've heard similar intel. I still think he ends up, I don't know, if I had to put in a crystal ball right now, I would say Arkansas. I think he ends up going to play for Cal, get in a nice bag, and gets to be a feature guy next to Big Z.
Would you, before we move on to this next comment, Riley, would you take 1 year of Jeremy Roach on next year's UNC team if he did want to do that?
In a vacuum, yeah.
What if you're not in a vacuum?
I don't like losing my guys who are already at UNC, and it makes me fearful that if Roach came, we'd have a decommitment or a transfer. But like, if that wasn't an issue and Roach is just cool with whatever, I would 100% take Jeremy Roach. It's a 42% three-point shooter.
He's the best guard, right? That was Carter and my conclusion of the three. He was the best player for next season, right?
Out of Proctor, Foster, and Roach?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Roach is the best pretty easily.
Yeah, it's a pretty big loss. Yeah, I want to say, again, not a crystal ball guy. If I can put a crystal ball in right now, there's a 0% chance that Jeremy Roach goes to the NBA. I don't even mean play in the NBA. I mean, like, he's not going in the draft.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Draft. He's playing in college. So we can sit here and do like, oh, Shire thought he was going to go pro. No, he didn't. Shire's not an idiot. Like, Roach can say that publicly, and you can portray it as if, oh, it's my time to leave. Jeremy Roach is going to go get a bag and play in college. It's what he's going to do. So at some level, inside the walls in Duke, they came to the conclusion that they were going to commit to Foster and Proctor. Whether that was Roach saying, screw you guys, whether that was Duke doing it themselves, I don't know. Jeremy Roach just unfollowed Duke on social media today. I think there's some smoke here that some drama happened behind the scenes, but maybe we will never know. Hoop says, remember the time that Greg said that Pete Nance was going to have a better year than Drew Timmy? It's incorrect. I did not say that. I said in the NCAA tournament, I would rather my team have Pete Nance than Drew Timmy. And I stand by that statement. I think Drew Timmy is a defensive liability in a way that Pete Nance is not.
UNC ruined Peter.
They did. They did. Ulamog, happy Bluffs Friday to all who celebrate in honor of the Masters champion dinner that the most recent winner hosts. What 5-course menu would you have arranged if you won the Masters?
Can't wait for this.
All right. Should I go first? Should I kick us off?
Please.
First course, hamachi. 100%. We're having like, if you never had hamachi, it's like a tuna sashimi. It's very delicious. Great way to kick off the night. Second course, I probably would have some sort of greens, some sort of salad, maybe some arugula, maybe some like candied cons mixed in, and probably like strawberries, some sort of salad in that world. So let's see. Course three. I'd probably go with lobster. I'm talking a full lobster, both the claws and the tail. Maybe pair that with a polenta of sorts. And maybe some green beans on the side. I feel like that'd be a good pairing. Fourth course, I don't want to just go with like the cliche and say like a steak, so I'm not going to do that. Maybe like a duck confit, just to show off a little bouginess there. Fifth course,
Showing off the bouginess after everything you just named.
Fifth course, I would go with a chocolate cake of sorts with an espresso as the nightcap.
Hell of a meal.
I mean, it's a fantastic answer. Cart, do you want to do yours?
Yeah, if I won the Masters and I got to make the menu, I'm not eating with a bunch of people who didn't win the Masters.
That's not how it works. It's a dinner for the people that won the Masters.
Oh, it is.
The only people who get an invite to this dinner are previous Masters winners, and the reigning champion hosts the dinner and picks all the courses.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay. All right. In that case, then my appetizer, this the come down from Riley's to mine is gonna be crazy. It would either be calamari or spinach artichoke dip, preferably from Ocean Prime in Troy, Michigan. That just it's great stuff. Calamari there, calamari is incredible. The salad course, I'd probably just go with a straight chicken, either chicken Caesar salad or a chopped salad from like a nice Italian place with like maybe like bacon in it, bacon bits in it or something like that. That'd probably be that course. The next course, pretty simple, probably just some type of like chicken, cheesy potatoes. And then honestly, very, very overcooked Brussels sprouts as like the little side on there, like the crispy Brussels sprouts, those slap with balsamic vinaigrette. Need that.
Very overcooked Brussels sprouts. That's going to hit
Yeah.
different when people read that on the menu.
Yeah. Cartel style. The next meal, it's a lot of food. I don't know. Skip the fourth meal. We're going right to dessert. For dessert, my mom's eclair pie.
Carter's mom's eclair pie.
Part
I
of
want to
mom's.
just read the menu with all of this written on it. It'd be so
Yeah.
good.
And then the nightcap is a beer.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, mine's just gonna be a bunch of fast food destinations. I would start with cheese-filled pretzel bites as an appetizer. I would then bring in large Sbarro cheese pizzas with breadsticks. I would then bring like a popcorn chicken with some potato wedges. Fourth, I would have my mother's peanut butter and jellies cut into triangles. And then fifth, everyone would get one well silver tequila shot with a medium-sized slice of yellow cake with chocolate frosting.
Like that. No canes, huh?
No canes. No canes.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah. Great question, though. That's one of my favorite questions in channel history. Kevin Freeman says, I think whatever the transfer solution is, it has to address both the needs of the schools and the players. I'm thinking that freshmen can't transfer until after 2 years, unless there's a program change or significant disciplinary issues, et cetera. But NIL from the school has to increase like 15 to 20% the second year. It would encourage teams to build with freshmen, give mid-majors a chance to cook. Two, all transfer commits have a 2 year until graduation min commitment. Three, grads can transfer for the duration of their eligibility. I feel like this is a very complicated thing to read on the show, to be honest. Like, good solutions, but I don't know what to make of it. Anyone have thoughts?
Personally, I feel like the original system of a one-time transfer, and then if you do it again, you got to sit out, made sense. I think that you should be immediately eligible if your coach leaves, but obviously that got taken to court and dismantled. And so I don't really see any changes coming anytime soon. I think the NCAA is eventually going to dissolve, and who knows what's going to happen after that.
Yeah, needs to be some changes. Also, there are contracts. Would love incentives in the contracts. Like, I want to see players out there gunning for their stats to hit their bonus.
I would love that too. But no, Kevin offers some good solutions here. I think Riley's right though. I don't think anything's going that way. Travis Nelson, Malik and Spartan Dog 101 are the same person. I'd like to formally submit an investigation request on behalf of the MSU fan channel. Cart, your thoughts.
I blocked Malik yesterday. I can't
Feel
take it
good about
anymore.
that?
I feel great about it.
Okay. Well, then you didn't see this comment. Malik Perry says, I am who I am. Greg, you can pay high school kids. It's legal. LOL. You making any bets on Smith asking for my alter ego? Then, if you had to be a cat in the wild, which one would you be? Since Carter is an animal expert, this should be easy.
I had to be a cat in the wild.
What would you be? You're an animal expert. It should be easy.
I mean, obviously, you want to be the king of the jungle. You'd be a lion.
Riley.
Cheetah. I think cheetahs are so dope. And they're also kind of cute.
I hate cheetah print.
I'd be a jaguar. Let's move on. Jesse says, I think at this point you need to change the comment section to who is Malik? Honestly, a pretty fair comment. Dr. Doctor says Malik moves to 1,079 and 0 against Carter this year. Carter, you feel okay about your results against Malik head to head?
I don't know who Malik Perry is. I blocked him from Discord and my life.
Malik's back with another comment. He says, when do we get the wives to host? That sounds like a good watch. We need advance notice. Carter, if you want me gone, man up and make some bets against me, man queen from House Arachnids.
Man queen is funny. I just want to let that be very known. I'll make a bet against Malik any day of the week. Malik says some of the wildest things I've ever seen in a Discord ever.
Make a bet. You blocked him.
I'll make it through you. You'll be our medium.
It seems like Malik has you in hell right now. Luke says, whose mom wins in a fight? April, when she feels DGL deserves more playing time, or AJ Store's mom with a house and a bag on the line?
I'm not picking against Mama DGL ever.
I'm picking AJ Store's mom without knowing who she is. I think Mama DGL is all bark, no bite.
Okay, let's hope she doesn't get hold of that one.
Just saying. I Maynard says, I'm convinced Malik is an artificial intelligence algorithm trying to recreate the magic that is Meek Mill Kanye West tweets.
Well, part of artificial intelligence is the intelligence part, though, isn't it?
Middle name Malik Perry says, Carter versus the Chicken Man, Carson Cooper, 1 versus 1 to 21, ones and twos, unlimited dribbles. Who are you taking? All I'm saying is Carter never lost a starting spot to Mati Sissoko and Jackson Kohler.
I would, if given the opportunity. Beat me.
What's the score, Coop versus you?
Did he say 21? Is that what we're going to?
21.
Coop 21, me 16.
Do you have a better chance beating Carson Cooper 1-on-1 to 21 or beating me in pickleball 1-on-1 to 11?
I think I have a better chance of beating Carson Cooper 1-on-1.
I think so, too. I just wanted to hear you say it. Oh, man. Couple more here.
If you're not going to do plyometrics at age 30, how do you expect to be well-conditioned enough to get 16 on Carson Cooper and a 21?
Well, I'd have time to prepare. And also, he's not ready for the mental warfare I'm going to put him through. That's part of playing me in 1-on-1.
Facts. I'm very well conditioned to at least be prepared for it, even if it still gets to me. A couple more here. Guy says the best pure athlete is in the portal. He's getting so slept on. Toibu Lawal is going to make a high major coach very happy. Is that a real human being?
Yeah, and he has stupid bounce, like crazy bounce, like grab a quarter off the top of the backboard type bounce. But guy's really tripping. Like he's dunky dunky.
Okay. Final boss Sully says, please kick guy. Cool guy 123 says, we may need to have age limits to comment here. People did not like the guy comment. Fam says, happy Bluffs Friday, everyone. We still getting Bluffs on the show in the off season, or is he too busy traveling to Maine/Outer Banks this time of year?
I'm back, fam. I won't miss one. I'm going to be bold and say there will not be a single Friday I miss this off season.
Wow.
That's a damn lie, because I know you're taking a long weekend trip. By the way, when is your trip to Maine? I know you got one already planned.
I don't have one to Maine. I do have several trips planned, though. But I'll have my mic with me.
Where are the trips? Time. Where are the trips?
One is to Bald Head Island. That is a North Carolina beach. You have to take a ferry to get there. One is in Kiwa and one is in Hilton Head with my parents. And then Natalie and I will probably do something together. Don't know what that's going to be yet, though.
What is Kiwa?
It's a beach in South Carolina.
Okay.
Are you a sand guy, Riley?
No, I hate sand, but I like the beach, oddly enough. I just like, once I hit my limit, I'm ready to go home and shower. You feel me?
Yeah. You guys should get a pool.
It'll be good. Poop says, Carter claims to have... Carter claims to have a special skill that allows him to leave the Discord when he sees something he doesn't like. That is called running from the grind, my friend.
I'm good with that.
Eric NJ Boiler 96, one big thing presented by companies that the Discord members own or co-own. I can't give you NIL money, but it would be a way we could support each other's businesses within the community. At least you can get a, or at least until you can get a bag from a sponsor. Do you like that idea, Cart?
I'm open to it.
I'd rather promote those throughout the show in a different segment than one big thing. One big thing either needs to be like a permanent fake sponsor or a permanent real sponsor.
Yeah. You know what? If anyone can get us in contact with the people from Lowe's or Home Depot, I feel like they would be really interested in our One Big Thing segment.
Maybe. Final comment today. Toon says, the only issue I have with recruits signing contracts is you're asking 16 to 18-year-olds to sign away their life, college, career, and probably get stuck in bad situations because they don't know any better. Would need some heavy regulation and probably agents for every kid. I agree with that, but I think that's where the sport is headed. Bad deals are already being made, and nobody's forcing kids to sign a contract more than 1 year. That's where I'm at. Okay, thanks for the comments. Great job this week. Way to get us kickstarted into the offseason. Riley, we're going to hear a word from our sponsor, MyBookie, in a moment, but then I would love to hear some words from the Lord, if you don't mind. Carter, can you tell us about MyBookie?
Of course I can tell you about MyBookie. MyBookie is the official sports book of Sleepers Media. It makes it easy to play your way and get paid with a variety of bets while also being able to have access to expert predictions or anything, you know, give you a little bit of guidance on maybe where you want to put your bet. And currently at MyBookie, we have a amazing deposit bonus offer for you of up to $1,000. All you got to use is promo code Sleepers. That's promo code Sleepers. Take advantage of the instant deposit bonus today, and happy betting to you. Shout out to MyBookie.
You heard the man. Riley, could you please spit some wisdom from the man above?
I will. Yes, our reading today comes from Acts chapter 2, which chronicles the early rise of the church. This is verses 43 through 47. It describes the early church after they've had an encounter with Jesus. This is what transcribes afterwards. It says, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Love how that verse shows that an encounter with Jesus leads to radical generosity, leads to life change, leads to great fruit being born forth out of that. So those are my words of wisdom for the day.
That's a good one. I like that, Riley.
Thank you, Riley.
Got y'all.
Should we like
presented by MyBookie and crew as usual?
should we be ending that segment with like you know how actual scripture readings at a mass are like the word of the Lord, praise be. I don't know what the latest terminology is, but like Riley, how should we end that segment every day?
Let me workshop something. Let me get in my liturgy bag and we can have a call and response for next week.
Appreciate it tremendously. Also, I want it known that the term break bread being such a large part of scripture is so awesome. I love the term break bread.
It is a bar. That's a fact.
It's a bar. Okay, to the show. Riley Davis, what's our first topic?
First topic for today, we're going to continue some transfer portal talk. I know y'all are cranking out those videos pretty much every day. A little tease for the listeners. I'm hoping to start to do some of those tomorrow or by the day that people are listening to this and into next week. But I want to take a broader view here and look at some transfers who you believe are either overrated or underrated. And they don't have to be committed yet, but just sort of the perception around them, maybe some transfers that seem to be viewed in a really high esteem by the general public or media who you're not as high on, or maybe some transfers that you think are sort of flying under the radar right now.
I like this. Okay. I like this a lot. You want to go first, Cart?
No.
I don't either. Riley, can you go first?
Yeah, I'll start with overrated. We'll start negative, then go positive. This hurts me a little bit. I know it's going to hurt Guy, but I kind of think Kobe Bray is getting a little too much love when you see the amount of all these high majors, all these blue bloods who are reaching out to him. And I want to preface this by saying, like, his efficiency is insane.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think he hit 100 threes on like 201 or 202 attempts. Just stupid efficiency. And from watching him, it's not like he's just a standstill shooter. Like, he can hit him off the dribble. He can hit him coming off movement. But where I wonder if he's being a little bit overrated, I get that he played starters minutes. I don't like that he never started at Dayton. I don't really know how his defense is, which maybe that could be a blind spot on mine. I totally admit that if anybody calls me out for it. But even looking at, like, I get he's played well against high majors, but I also can't completely get over the fact that the A-10 has been really bad the past 2 years. And I think he's going to be if he goes to UConn, then yeah, I'm going to think he's Cam Spencer 2.0. But if he goes and plays for, I don't know who, like, if he plays for St. John's, I think we're looking at a pretty forgettable season, even if he has some numbers that are pretty good.
I can see that 100%. I think it's all about fit with him for me. And you just gave great examples of that. But yeah, it seems like everyone in the sport wants him. And I'm curious if he wants like featured role or just like fifth option on a great team. He could really kind of choose his own fate.
I like that. All right. Given off where Riley went with that, I'm going to go a little bit more outside the box, I think, with my overrated, or I think it's being garnered a little bit too much. Ryland Griffin from Alabama, I think, is being overrated just a little bit. He's a 6'5 off-ball guard who I don't think can really do anything with the ball in his hands. And I think he gets more credit for being a positive defender than he actually deserves, just because he looked good as a defender next to a team full of really bad defenders. I just didn't think he was that great of a defender. Now, he's a 40% three-point shooter. You can't, you know, look down on that. And starting 33 games at Alabama, that's impressive and whatnot. But I don't think he adds as much as people think. And then as like a 6'5 off-ball guard who's not really a great defender, or I'm not necessarily the lockdown defender that I think people give him credit for, I think Ryland Griffin's a little bit overrated in my eyes.
I can see that. Your thoughts?
I think you just sold me on that. At first, I was like, that's kind of crazy. But I also think it's crazy because he's probably going to end up at Kansas, and Bill Self's track record with wings, whether it's Christian Brown, whether it's Oche Igbaji, it's like, yeah, he could explode. But in a vacuum, the player that is Ryland Griffin, look, I know this is going to come across as sour grapes. I'm a Carolina fan. But if RJ Davis shoots 1-for-9 from three instead of 0-for-9 from three, that in the Sweet 16 against Alabama and Carolina wins that game, do we still view Ryland Griffin as a consensus top five transfer if he's not coming off a Final Four?
Yeah. I mean, I will say this, though. If Kansas fans expect him to be like that breakout guard or breakout forward that they always have, they'll be disappointed. But adding him as, like, you know, as Greg likes to point out, like a fifth guy or something like that, who's literally just a guy who's 6'5", and you could put him somewhere and have him knock down a couple shots, then you love him. But, you know, if you expect him to be like the next Ochai, the next Christian Brown or something like that, hell no.
Yeah. I can see that. I think the Alabama system too is just part of it. Like, it makes guys look better and more appealing as shooters than they might actually be elsewhere because of the way they play. But I like Ryland Griffin. I think I'm higher on him than you guys. I have one that committed already and then one that is still technically out there. And I don't know if they're like consensus overrated, but the schools that are recruiting them is overrating insane to me. I cannot believe Terrace Reed's at UConn. That's the most baffling commitment I've ever seen in my life. And I know I'm just shitting on the kid. I just can't process the best program in the sport thinking that he should be their center. Another Big Ten guy that is supposedly being targeted and highly prioritized by one of the best programs in the sport. I can't believe Duke wants Mason Gillis. Can't believe that. And I get like toughness, role player, glue guy, maturity, winning can help their group of young talents. You're Duke. Like, you're Duke. Like, there are better talented players than Mason Gillis you could get to do that. This is Ryan Young 2.0 for me. And Mason Gillis is a better player than Ryan Young, but I just can't believe that's the team that's calling him.
I haven't watched as much Purdue as y'all have. Probably nowhere near as much because I'm more, you know, plugged into my league. As a Carolina fan, I'd be kind of scared about Mason Gillis at Duke because they're clearly building this team by looking – or the Mason Gillis addition or pursuit it gives off these vibes that they're just looking to surround Cooper Flagg with guys who can shoot and guys who are old. And I think that's a pretty good formula. Like, I can't get over that game where Mason Gillis hit 9 threes. And again, maybe that's me, you know, being a tangential Big Ten spectator where I don't watch every game. I just see, I see the big Purdue games, or I see the highlights. That's what scares me, having a dude who has been to a national championship game, who's like 23, who's going to be there to mentor Cooper Flagg and iron out any potential locker room issues. I don't like that.
Yeah, it's mature. There's definitely like intrinsic value to who he is that goes beyond his talent as a basketball player. But I don't know. I know this is the opposite of what I've argued with Braden Smith for 2 weeks. The guys that are just shooters or just 3-and-D off ball guys for Purdue are going to have a massive adjustment trying to play without Zach Edey. Like, it just, he's going to look around and be like, oh, I'm not wide open every time I catch the ball anymore. Like, huh? To me, he's a lot like Michigan's Terrence Williams, where it's like, you just had a great season, a career year. Your numbers are great. You should probably go to like Notre Dame or a mid-major if you want to play serious basketball again. And if his role is big on Duke, I don't think that's a good thing for Duke. I'll lead us off on underrated. I have two. Once again, both are uncommitted right now. One is Aiden Mahaney. I've been screaming about him, and I want him at Michigan bad. He might not end up at Michigan, but people are bullshitting about his numbers. Like, oh, he shot in the 30s from the field. That tells me you didn't watch the type of shots that he was taking at St. Mary's last year. This dude is a very high-level shooter, an extremely high-level scorer. They play so slow that, like, 13 points a game in a St. Mary's offense is like 18 anywhere else. I think even if it's not Michigan, which I hope it is and expect it to be, if it's not Michigan, he's going to be a killer. He's going to be a first team all conference player at the high major level. And it sounds like Duke, Kentucky, and UConn are all after Aiden Mahaney to various levels. So maybe that doesn't make him underrated, but in our circles of conversations, it makes him underrated. And then this one's actually underrated. Scotty Middleton should be getting called by big schools. Was a prestigious recruit. I thought he really showed some things at Ohio State in the second half of the season. Seems like he's just been swept aside. I don't even know who's recruiting him right now, but guy that I firmly believe has at least two more years in college of like go-to scorer potential on the wing.
I like that. I got two guys. One is committed and one is uncommitted. So I'll do the committed guy first. I think that Mark Mitchell ad for Kansas State is really, really good. Like, Mark Mitchell was really good last year for Duke. Like, understand. Huh?
Missouri.
Mark Mitchell's committed to Missouri?
Trending Missouri is as of 20 minutes ago. That's the report.
He's decommitting from Kansas State?
Crystal balls for Mark Mitchell to Missouri as of 20 minutes ago.
What?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm taking him off.
Kansas State's such a better fit.
Yeah. That's really, I guess that bag must have came in. That's crazy. Well,
go to K-State. Don't go to Mizzou. Like,
yeah. Okay.
But still, with Doug.
Still to my point, like, Mark Mitchell was really good for Duke last year. I feel like people maybe use him as like somewhat of a scapegoat because he couldn't shoot or something like that. Or not something like that. He literally couldn't shoot. But like, they always just lean back on like him not having the ability to shoot, while he just improved in every other part of his game. I think, I mean, he was a 12-7 guy for a really, really good Duke team. And I thought that he did some, you know, he was a high energy guy. Like, you never had to worry about anything with him. I just think that he was a very underrated. I had this whole thing about how he was an underrated ad for Kansas State. So that really just kind of shit on that moment. But like, that's the first player. And then the second one is Tyrese Hunter. I think that Tyrese Hunter was just in a bad situation at Texas, whether it be because Rodney Terry was in the fold or whether they, you know, are playing him next to another small shot hungry guard like Max Asemus. I think that the next school that Tyrese Hunter picks will be critical. Me and Greg have a video up on the channel. You can go look at that. But in the right system, I think he kind of goes back to that form that he had towards the end at Iowa State, which made him so highly sought after. And you look at the Texas games as kind of an afterthought. Texas, the Texas era as an afterthought.
I like that pull cart. And I want to add something unrelated to the transfer discussion, but that is related to the Texas discussion. When y'all were talking about Cam Heidi throwing up the horns It was Cam Heidi, right, in that Purdue picture? Yeah. I was like, man, if Cam Heidi went to Texas, me and Carter would become the biggest Cam Heidi fans in the world based on our Dylan Dessou love.
We're still on Texas next year, by the way, Riley. We're not going anywhere. We got Tremont Mark in the fold. We got Trey Johnson coming in. We're still there.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be part of that Texas hype next year. But I got two, one of whom I feel good about, the other I don't feel so great about. Y'all might have to talk me out of the second one. First one, I fell in love in the round of 64 with a player whose nickname Costa Rican Ja Morant, Ian Martinez from Utah State. That dude completely dismantled TCU when they won by like 20 points in the first round. I didn't even realize that he hit the portal until I was just perusing Evan Miyakawa's transfer portal rankings, and I see Ian Martinez is available. And per a quick Twitter search, the indicators are that he's likely headed back to Maryland. I feel like he could do better. His highlights at Utah State this past year, I mean, I want to say, I don't know what his exact averages are, but that dude was, I mean, he was great in the first round of the tournament. I feel like I love the way he carries himself on the court, that he just like has that psychotic energy about him. Okay, he only averaged 13 points last year on 47% shooting. 38% from three, though. Like, maybe you could do a little bit better than Kevin Willard. I don't know. I feel like he's sort of flying under the radar a ton, really completely. And the second one, this is one like I never like going to bat for Ole Miss, and I really hate going to bat for Chris Beard. But I like what they're doing with Dre Davis, Mikael Brown-Jones, and Malik Dia.
Malik Dia is nice.
Malik Dia is a junkyard dog. I feel like I've consumed a ton of Malik Dia highlights. Whoa. Watched a lot of Malik Dia highlights.
That was not as bad as Carter's making it seem. It wasn't.
Thank you. But I've watched a lot of his highlights just by scouting Cade Tyson, and I think he might be a guy. And Mikael Brown-Jones just has crazy good balance, put up stupid numbers at Greensboro. And Dre Davis coming off the NIT championship.
I feel like Riley's been swallowing a lot of Cade Tyson highlights lately.
All right, can we move on to the next topic?
Yeah, sorry. Sorry I sold that, Riley. That was unfair to you.
It's a fun topic. What's topic two?
Next one ties into what y'all were saying about McDonald's All-Americans transferring and whether or not that was a problem. I want to lean back into that and see, of the McDonald's All-Americans that are in the portal right now, I have the list in front of me if you need them, which one do you think is most likely to either blossom into like a first-team All-Conference, maybe even All-American type guy, or become a lottery pick after their next stop?
It's a great topic. Let's get the list. Run through the list.
So we got DJ Wagner, Omaha Ballou, Andre Stojakovic, Bay Fall, Bronny James, Aiden Holloway, Brandon Garrison, Aaron Bradshaw, Dylan Mitchell, Mark Mitchell, Arturo Morris, Keani Wright, and Dylan Mitchell. Oh, I already said Dylan Mitchell, my bad.
Ooh. So you're saying who out of that list would be most likely to be a lottery pick? Or like
they could be, you can approach it from like NBA upside angle. I don't look at any of this list and I'm like, oh yeah, surefire. There's not a ton to choose from for like surefire lottery pick, surefire first round. So I expanded it to like make a first team all conference, maybe even all American if things break right. So you can go either direction.
Okay. I think my two options from that list, even though I somewhat wanted to talk myself into DJ Wagner, but I just don't see it. I think the two options I would take from that list would be Aiden Holloway and Stojakovic. I think I'm going to lean Aiden Holloway. I think Aiden Holloway in the right system could be like that classic, like do-it-all point guard, like put up like crazy, you know, Marquise Noel type numbers. I think that he has that ability. It just didn't work out for him in his freshman year at Auburn, but like I do think that he could reach that level one day. Now, I don't think he's going to be like an NBA player or anything like that, but I do think that he could put up some pretty crazy stats and be like an all-conference first team guy.
I loved Holloway coming out of high school. I was convinced he was going to be a problem at Auburn this past year.
So did I. That kind of hurt me he wasn't.
If he goes to Alabama, I think he has a visit lined up with them. That's a great system that'll highlight his strengths.
I agree.
I'm going to steal Carter's answer. I think it's Aiden Holloway. And I don't have much to add other than I think the my take from that list is I don't believe in many of those players anymore. Like, I think like Mark Mitchell and Dylan Mitchell are essentially the best guys in college on that list. And I don't think either of them really have NBA ceilings. I don't think any, like, I don't think Aiden Holloway has an NBA ceiling. Maybe DJ Wagner does if he has a really good year. But like the Stojakovic kid, I don't think he's going to be a pro, and I don't think he's going to be like a first. I don't know. Like, they're just, these are underwhelming guys because they weren't that good. Not because every school in the country let them down. Riley's laughing.
I had this whole bit planned where I was going to say, you know, I got to go with the son of one of the NBA greats, grew up watching his dad be a pro, knows what it takes to reach that level, had access to good training. And of course, I'm talking about Andre Stojakovic, and Bronny is right there. But then Carter mentioned Andre Stojakovic second. But I kind of
like Stojakovic's game. I'm serious.
I do too, dude. I think, like, I thought he was going to light it up at Stanford this year. And my case for him, for one, he only shot 32% from three this year, but his form is pure. I mean, his dad's one of the greatest shooters of all time. He got to the rim a decent amount. I think, you know, those like transfer portal clip edits that show the synergy numbers, it was something like, I think he shot close to 60% at the rim. And I think we have like at least a two player sample size in Harrison Ingram and our guy Mikey O'Connell getting out of Stanford, getting out of Palo Alto and blossoming once they leave.
Stanford last season is going to be an all-time case study because they have the best center in the portal returning to Stanford, and they have Cannon Carlisle, who's going to be a stud at Indiana, leaving Stanford, and they had Stojakovic off the, like, what a loaded, awesome team that finished eighth in the Pac-12 last year. I think Andrej Stojakovic answers the question, which I've wondered for years. What if Peja Stojakovic couldn't shoot? That's who Andre is, because he shot 52% from the free throw line, fellas.
Okay, but like, read the attempts. How many attempts was that?
36 attempts. He made half of his 36 attempts. Riley,
okay, that's bad. If you're
a shooter, you don't make 50% of your 32 attempts. 36 attempts. That's crazy.
Zach Hurt did.
That's insane. It's insane.
Yeah, he needs Carter to tell him to stop missing free throws.
Yeah.
Wherever, I think he's got a visit to Cal this weekend. I need Mark Madsen to call up Carter, fly him out to Berkeley, just so he can tell Andre Stojakovic to stop missing free throws and watch it work.
I'll have him shooting 82% by next season minimum.
Honestly, Stojakovic would look pretty good. He'd look pretty good in green and white, low key.
He'd look good in anything. He's a handsome.
He'd look good
fellow.
In maize and blue. Stojakovic is going to be better than Aiden Mahaney.
That's crazy. That's
I'm surprised no
crazy.
None of y'all are interested in Aaron Bradshaw as a second year breakout guy.
I hate the fit. It sounds like they're gonna play him with Felix Akpara, and that's disgusting.
Yeah, bad. Also, this is a little bit artificial, but I just noticed I hate the way Aaron Bradshaw runs. he runs like a T-Rex.
Yeah, he does. I think Aiden Holloway is the correct answer, boys. I feel good that we've landed on that one, but he needs to pick the right school, and then we'll see what happens. Okay.
Yep.
Final topic, Riley.
It's got interesting. This came up in the Discord comments, but I want to talk about these NBA play-in games, which this will be airing Friday morning, which means that night we'll see the Kings play the Pelicans without Zion, and we'll see the Bulls play the Heat without Jimmy Butler. First off, are you entertained by these games? When I thought of this topic, I assumed Butler was playing at least. I didn't realize Zion was out yet. Secondly, who do you think wins? Third, can anybody, and this would include the Lakers, this would include the Sixers, can anybody, any of these 7 through, I guess it's the 10s have been eliminated, 7 through 9 teams, give a scare to a 1 or a 2 seed in their respective conferences?
I'm entertained by the games. I'll say that. I've had them on both the last two nights. It's a weird time in the NBA for me right now because I feel like most of these teams in the play-in games I think are better than the teams that are seeded like 3rd through 7th in their conference, which I don't know what that means for the rest of the playoffs, but like you put like a gun to my head, do I think that the 76ers or the Miami Heat can give the Celtics problems in 7 games more than the Cleveland Cavaliers or the Orlando Magic? Like, yes, I do, 100%. So I'm intrigued by that. These feel like high-level matchups thus far. I think the Kings are the team that I have my eye on right now. Like, step backwards for them from being, like, a lock playoff team last year.
Right.
They, like, I don't know. You could tell they relished the opportunity to play the Warriors and, like, stick the fork in that dynasty, and they're gone. Like, they wanted to run it up on them. Keegan Murray's also, like, way better than I realized, and I know I've been screaming the Keegan Murray praise for, like, 3 years since he was in college, but I have tuned out of most of the NBA stuff this season, and then, like, he's just torching dudes off the dribble and hitting fadeaways now. That's sick. Like, if that's a legitimate, consistent thing paired with Fox, I love the Kings. I wouldn't be surprised, man. I know OKC is really good, but if Sacramento ends up the 8 seed and gets a 7-game series against the Thunder, I think that's gone 7 games.
Yeah, the only thing that scares me about the Kings is, I don't know, is Herter out for the year? And Malik Monk is hurt right now, too. Like,
they are hurt. Keon Ellis was hooping.
Yeah, Keon Ellis is a stud. I think that the Kings probably beat the Pelicans by 20 with no Zion. I think the Pelicans are cooked. They're going to be playing Jose Alvarado crunch time minutes. Like, what do you think De'Aaron Fox is going to do when he sees Jose Alvarado guarding him? He's looking at that like it's food. And I know Alvarado is a pest. That's how he's made his NBA career. But, yeah, I think they win that game pretty easily. I agree with you, Greg. I could see them pushing the Thunder to 6, maybe 7, just because of the youth. I mean, I know Chet has been a stud this year, and Shea's probably going to be at worst second place for the MVP. But I trust De'Aaron Fox in the playoffs. I feel like he got his taste of the playoffs last year, and they, what, lost in 7 to the Warriors in the first round. Now that he's got that first series out of the way, I think he might, like, fully ascend into stardom if things break right this postseason.
I agree. Cart?
So, I thought the East playing was an abomination. I did not enjoy watching it. Joel Embiid looks pretty hefty. Tobias Harris was point shaving. I watched a Nick Batum fourth quarter takeover, and Jimmy Butler play without an MCL for half the game. I didn't enjoy watching that. Didn't enjoy watching the other game either. Like, it was, shout out to Kobe White. Kobe White was cooking, by the way. I really have not been able to watch as much NBA as I wanted to this season. So, like, me tuning in and watching Kobe White just cook like that just, like, took me back. I was like, whoa, okay. Western Conference playing, I was way more interested in just because I think the West is better. Like, you're seeing teams that are 46 and 36, like, and Pelicans are 49 and 33, and they're over here, like, fighting for a playoff spot. Like, I think it made it a little bit more entertaining. I'll agree with y'all. I think the Kings are just overall a good team. If they can get Malik Monk back, I don't know, like, what his status is, but, like, they get him back, Fox, Sabonis, Keegan Murray, Keon Ellis is, like, now a guy, too, like, off the bench, like, spark plug guy for them that just works really well. They got something cooking that they can get past the Pelicans, which I think they will if the Pelicans are beat up, which I think they are.
Yeah. Honestly, part of why I brought this up was because I, too, wanted to talk about Kobe White. And just I need a UNC player to make an all-star team. We haven't had one in forever. I bet Maynard's probably like, what's the
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
He's probably like doing the Birdman hand rub as I'm talking about the lack of NBA success for Carolina players. But maybe Kobe White finally breaks through, because that man was just, he was on one last night. Hit some super high degree difficulty shots. No one could stay in front of him. I get that Trae Young was being asked to check him at points, but that was a clinic. So
he's the second best guard on the Bulls team next to Ayo Dosunmu.
Let's stop appeasing the Illinois fans.
Okay,
but I think the Bulls beat the Heat, And in theory, I would rather like the Heat win that game with a healthy Jimmy, just because I feel like they, you want to talk about mental warfare. That's what they do to the Celtics. And it's always hilarious to watch the Celtics struggle. Unfortunately, I think the Celtics beat the Bulls in four, but I don't know. Maybe Coby White can do a little something. I'd love to see that.
Yeah. I love Coby White. I always have. He's probably my favorite Carolina player in like 7 years. It is good. It's fun to see dudes you loved in college like get over the hump in the NBA. That's how I feel about Keegan Murray too.
It reminded me that Coby White literally made shots that RJ Davis made this past year at 6'5". And it he was so fun to watch. He's like, he might be like in my top five favorite Tar Heels ever, and he only played for one season. I love Coby White so much.
It's tough to do. Fun guy. All right. We'll do more NBA playoff stuff in the coming weeks. Keep an eye on that. Thank you to Riley Davis for topics this week. Let's get to one big thing presented by no one.
Oh, well, I'm going to go ahead and start off this week. About a month ago, I went to a pottery class with my wife because she really wanted to try one that was in the neighborhood. I suck at pottery. I sucked at it in high school. Like, I don't like pottery. I'm more of a run from the grind pottery guy. Like, why am I going and getting my hands dirty and making stuff when I can head to my local Home Goods and pick up a pot? Like, what are we really doing here? But to appease, you know, happy wife, happy life, we did take a pottery class. I enjoyed it. I set out to make a cup. That's what I want. I was like, I'll make a coffee cup. Like, that'll work out. I'll make it sleeper's color. I'll try to write sleeper's on it. It'll be a cool sleeper's mug. Would y'all like to see the finished product?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. This is a Carter Elliott original here. We have a sleeper's mug. Okay. It was really hard to write sleepers on it, but this does say sleepers. Okay. It really shrunk in the kill. So it's very short. So I don't know if I can use this as like a very aggressive, I had a bad day shot glass, or like have like a latte in here or something. But you know, I got a little orange circle in there, some orange specks that you can't really see. I did a little splatter technique in here, but yeah, this is my sleepers. I don't know. It's like not big enough to be a pen holder.
Carl, I can tell you exactly what that is. I can tell you that's a candle holder.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. That would be good.
That would be incredible. It looks great, my friend.
I think the craftsmanship is bar none. Great work, Big Cat.
Thank you, man.
You got to be nimble to be that crafty with pottery. I'm throwing that out there.
I mean, I'm definitely nasty with my hands.
All right. Riley, one big thing.
I'm run from the grind in general when it comes to yard work. Let that be known. I'm not. Are you not, Cart?
Not yard work. You got to take some pride in that.
I don't like trimming hedges. Hate pulling weeds. But I will say one area in yard work that I don't run from the grind is mowing the lawn. Spring weather, podcast on, usually Sleepers Media. It was this morning. Shout out to y'all. Shout out to us. I'm including myself under that umbrella. Mm-hmm. Nothing better than a relaxing morning, smell of fresh cut grass. Only thing that messes it up is if you don't clean up the dog poop in the backyard before you do that. I've made that mistake literally the last two times I've mowed. Puts a damper on it, but we prevail. Shout out to the spring weather. Shout out to fresh cut grass. That's my one big thing.
Have you reached full dad status, Riley? Like, did you post a picture of your first cut of the year on Facebook?
I did not, but I am unfortunately in a group chat with guys who make me look like I slum it at the Red Roof Inn, who share photos of their yard. So I am in those circles. I just do not do it myself.
Gotcha.
Here's what I need to know. How early is too early to mow your lawn? Because you're referencing mowing in the morning. That's a pet peeve of mine.
I mean, I mow mine at like 9 a.m.
That's crazy. I feel for your neighbors.
9 a.m., you should be awake by then.
No.
I don't live.
Awful. That's awful. You got to give at least, like, I'm talking like 11 a.m. as the buffer.
I got things to do once the clock moves past 10.
You might have a neighbor that works the night shift at the hospital, comes home, starts sleeping at 7 a.m.
I mean, that's very fair. I do live in a bustling healthcare metropolis.
That's a crazy statement. Just like, I love you, Riley. I do. We're just not getting that anywhere else.
It's true. All right. My one big thing, I just want to say to Riley, I really like that you're here.
First of all, what is that heart?
I really like that you're here.
It looks like upside down ass cheeks. What is that? Can you not like get the like, oh wait, I don't know if I can do it either.
I really love that you're here.
That's a good one.
That is a good heart.
Just do that to me, Riley. Just do that.
Now I'm uncomfortable.
Do that
I'm
to uncomfortable. Me. I'm do very it. Do it to me. Do it. That's the show. We'll see you next week.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.